Is there such a thing as winning the offseason in college football? Yes. Did the Florida Gators do that this past offseason? I don't think so, but we're going to talk about it here on Locked On Gators.
You are Locked On Gators, your daily podcast on the Florida Gators. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of Locked On Gators, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Thanks for making Locked On Gators your first listen of the day. We are available daily and free wherever you listen to podcasts, except yesterday because I was having internet issues. So sorry about that, but thank you for tuning in today. We'll have an episode come out Saturday. I think we're going to do it. So we will still have five shows this week in addition to the interviews with the women's basketball team. But happy Thursday. I'm Brandon Olson. Find me on Twitter at WNS_Brandon. Written work with Whole Nine Sports and Giants Country and NFL 33. And we're going to talk about whether or not the Florida Gators are winning the offseason, because it is possible to do that. We hear offseason champs all the time, and I don't mean people who just crown themselves as champions in the offseason, like the Georgia Bulldogs deservedly probably will for 2023-2024 season, because they've done it twice, so they have every right to do that. What I am talking about is, we'll talk about the 2022 offseason, as in after the 2021 season going into 2022, where we saw Miami fans, for example, just going off about, we're going to go 12-0, we got crystal ball, a recruiting class, the portal's doing great, all these young players, Tyler Van Dyke, all that stuff went into them being winners of the offseason. And then they were arguably the biggest losers of the season. And that's not me going, oh, Miami, we hate them. They're losers. No, that's me saying that, yes, you can win the offseason. TCU has been winning the offseason, amazing transfer portal class. And you can lose the offseason. Personally, I kind of think the Florida Gators are on the losing side right now. And again, that's not to say you can't correct it with this second portal window. But I think right now you're on the losing side, primarily when you look at just the players lost to the transfer portal and the NFL draft. It's incredibly difficult to replace. You've got to replace Anthony Richardson, who I don't care how inconsistent he is. I don't care how frustrating he is to watch. He's incredibly talented. Jervon Dexter, I don't care how inconsistent he is. I don't care how frustrating he is to watch. He's incredibly talented. Ventrell Miller, not frustrating to watch, incredibly talented. Sibo, Osiris Torrance, All-American for the Florida Gators in 2022-2023, gone to the NFL draft. Trading Rashad Torrance, well, cool beans. Justin Shorter leaving. Amari Burney had a great 2022. And then looking at the portal, and you lost Trevez Johnson, who, say what you will about him, I know I am in the camp of, I don't think he should have been starting for this team anyway. I definitely think he could have been a valuable rotational piece. I just don't think he was a starter quality in the SEC, but he's at Missouri. So he's gone. Michael Tarquin, who was fantastic for most of the season. He had penalties, were a bit of a killer for him. But for the most part, the on-field play was pretty damn good for Michael Tarquin. Same thing for Ethan White, second team all-SEC left guard. He's gone to the portal. Jordan Young played so sparingly, but when he did play, was pretty solid. So you've got quite a few guys. And then there's other depth pieces. Lloyd Summerall is probably the bigger depth piece that this team lost. Nick Elksness left. DeJuan Black got dismissed. Corey Collier transferred out. Donovan McMillan is another big one that I was a big fan of, and I was really, I still stand to this day thinking he should have been the starter this coming season if he stayed. Like, I think he should have been. Dejon Reynolds went to Pitt, as did Donovan McMillan. Avery Helm started the season as a starter last year, eventually went to rotational, and then phased out completely over the last three games. He went to TCU and reportedly is destroying camp right now. Apparently he's been working on his press game, so he's great at that as well now, which is just wonderful considering what Florida had in the secondary last year and how it wasn't the best. So you've lost a lot of guys. And yeah, like I said, you cannot like some of those. I know that there are a lot of Florida Gators fans who throughout the course of 2022 soured on Anthony Richardson. I understand that because he was incredibly inconsistent. We had insanely high hopes for him. He did not reach them. But here's the thing. If you've been listening to this show, you knew that he was probably never going to reach that ceiling in college. I've been talking about this since he was a backup. He's incredibly physically gifted, but he is so wildly inconsistent. You could see it when he was a backup that he would have some throws that are pinpoint and some that are 20 yards overthrown. So that's just what he did. Avery Helm is someone who Florida Gators fans, a lot of Florida Gators fans, hated for whatever reason. He's gone. Travis Johnson is someone who's very hot and cold. He's gone. I mean, Trey Dean is someone who the huge majority of Gators fans do not like him. He's gone. And again, I don't care how you feel about their talent. I don't care how you feel about their consistency. I don't care about how you feel about any of this. The thing is, there are undeniably some incredibly talented players that are no longer with the Florida Gators. You know how we could prove that? Because like 8 of them are going to the NFL. Actually, there's 11 working out at the pro day. I'll say 9 of those are on a roster or practice squad at the start of the season. I'll say 9, barring injury. I'll say 9 of those guys end up on the practice squad. Richard Garage is another one who will be in the NFL next season. He will be. That's a fact. I don't care what anybody says. So when you look at losing all of that talent, it's incredibly hard to replace. It's incredibly hard to go, okay, we lost this QB with insane potential, a potential top 5 pick, a potential top 1 pick in the NFL draft. You lost all those guys, and we'll talk about coaches a bit later, but you lost all those guys. And Florida, kudos to you. You did a solid job of trying to replace those guys, which we'll talk about in a second, but I just think it's very difficult to replace them and get the same level of production that you were hoping to get. And we're going to talk about how Florida and Billy Napier kind of went about replacing these guys, what their approach was. But first, today's episode of Locked On Gators is brought to you by FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. March Madness well underway, but that's not even what I want to talk to you about. I will say, no sweat first bet up to $1,000 for new customers. So you can bet up to $1,000 in your first bet, and if that bet misses, then you get $1,000 back in bonus bets, okay? So I will say that. That's an awesome feature. I need to talk about Bradley Beal for a second, from one Florida Gators fan to another, because I'm going to look up his stat line from Wednesday night when he completely screwed me, or Tuesday night, sorry, when he completely screwed me over, because I bet I had this big parlay. It was like 8 legs and they all hit except for one. It was Bradley Beal, 20 points. I needed 20 points. Bradley Beal finished with 16. He fouled out with 3 minutes left in the fourth quarter, and he shot 4 for 15 from the field and 0 for 4 from 3. So Bradley Beal, I thought we were cool. Now we're not, man. Go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Thanks again for making Locked On Gators your first listen of the day. We are available daily and free wherever you listen to podcasts. And now this is one of the things where I mentioned, you know, trying to replace all those players that left Gainesville, trying to replace them. How do you do it? Well, Billy Napier tried to immediately replace the NFL guys with transfer portal guys. Anthony Richardson left. Graham Mertz from Wisconsin came in. And you can say what you want about Graham Mertz. You can say what you want about Anthony Richardson. My stance on replacing Anthony Richardson with Graham Mertz is more of what you lose in the rushing production from Anthony Richardson to Graham Mertz, you will probably gain in passing production. I truly don't think from the yards created by Anthony Richardson to the yards created by Graham Mertz that we're going to see that much of a difference. I see Graham Mertz connecting on the dig route over the middle, on the curl, on the slant more often than Anthony Richardson did. So that's why I'm saying, I think production-wise, you're going to see similar numbers. You're probably going to see less touchdowns from Graham Mertz because Anthony Richardson can do so much with his legs. but that's how you replace him there. You look at Osiris Torrance. I talk about this every time we talk about Micah Bazuga. Osiris Torrance last year, according to PFF, was the number one guard in the country. And according to everybody with more than one working brain cell, he was the best guard in the country. The second best guard in the country was Micah Bazuga, who was at Baylor and is now in Gainesville. So Florida, when you talk about losing a star player or losing a quality starter and replacing them in the transfer portal, I think you don't get any better than what Florida did with Micah Mazuka replacing Osiris Torrance, because you took the best guard in the country. He left college, so he's gone. Now who's the best guard in the country? The guy who was number two last season, Micah Mazuka. So you lost Osiris Torrance, you got Micah Mazuka. That's perfect. Yes, I know production-wise, you probably get the same from Graham Mertz and Anthony Richardson, but I think pure talent, Micah Mazuka is probably the best replacement that you've had. You're losing Javon Dexter on the defensive line. Well, you also brought in Cam Jackson and Caleb Banks on the defensive line, so you've probably got an answer there. Richard Garage going to the NFL draft. You brought in Keonta Goodwin from Kentucky. You brought in Damian George from Alabama at offensive tackle. So, answering the bell right there. You lost Ventrell Miller, you got Tyrajah Mitchell. You lost Amari Burney, you got Manny Nunnery and Deuce Spurlock. So you brought in everybody. You lost no running backs to the NFL draft, but you did lose a couple to the portal in Lorenzo Lingard and Naquan Wright. You brought in Cameron Carroll, who steps in right away from Tulane. Cam Carroll, Tyrajah Mitchell, both didn't really play in 2022 because of injury and because of just fit just didn't work. Like Cam Carroll got injured and then never really got his spot back. Tyrajah Mitchell wasn't really a fit with Jim Knowles, who came in as a DC from Oklahoma State and then got injured and was done for the season at that point. And so you brought in guys that you think can be high quality caliber replacements, which is fine. But that's a lot of projection and a lot of hoping these guys are going to be able to slot into our system immediately, seamlessly, to replace the players that we lost before. And then you can even look at the recruiting class from high school. Kelby Collins, fantastic football player, probably going to get some run this year. Jakeem Jackson, probably going to get significant playing time starting outside. Aiden Mizell, I am having a hard time talking myself into Aiden Mizell getting significant playing time this year. I think you could use him as a gadget type player, but I'm having a difficult time talking myself into him being a consistent contributor just because he is so thin. He is very thin. Like, he has to not get hit because, man, he's going to feel those. Like, I'm a skinny dude. I know you're going to feel those hits, man. Rod Kearney. I know for a fact the coaching staff is high on Roger Kearney, so I'm fully expecting to see Rod Kearney get some playing time this year. Will Norman, Jordan Castell, Sharif Denson has the potential to start or be the primary rotational star, nickel player, whatever you want to call them, after Jaden Hill, who's moving there. Treyon Webb's probably not going to play much. Andy Jean is lighting it up. Bryce Thornton is impressing. Eugene Wilson III can probably step in and get some run immediately. He's a great route runner, so put him in the slot, let him work. You did a good job of bringing in good talent, especially when you look at replacing guys in the portal. Like, the guys that Florida lost to the portal, Florida didn't even really try to focus on upgrading them. They were just like, well, we've got, like, through the portal, they were just like, well, we've got high school kids who are going to come in and replace them immediately. Yeah, Michael Tarquin, you can pencil in with losing Richard Garage, and you have Damian George and Keonta Goodwin. One of them is going to be playing offensive tackle to start the year. Ethan White, you can pencil in, not really with Micah Mazuka, but, I mean, you can just go, hey, we've got someone on roster like Richie Leonard IV. You can look at Rod Kearney to play early on as a freshman. So you did a solid job of replacing talent. I just think that at this point, it's a lot of projection. And this is one of those things, too, where right now I think they're on the losing side. I don't think they're losers of the offseason. I just think they're not winners. So I don't want to say they're losers or winners, but I definitely think they're on the losing side of the offseason right now. But here's another thing. We can look at this in, it's March 23rd now. We can look at this in 9 months when the season is done or almost done besides postseason. And we can look at this and we can then say, oh, damn, Florida did win the offseason. Like, they brought in all those guys who are perceptionally, they didn't. But when you look at what they brought in and how they contributed, maybe Graham Mertz has a great season as a passer. Maybe Mike Mazzucca has a great season as an offensive lineman. Maybe Cam Carroll is a great pass-catching back for the Gators. Maybe Taraja Mitchell steps in and replaces Ventrell Miller on the field seamlessly. Can never replace him off the field. Maybe Caleb Banks does end up working out. He was a three-star high school player, didn't play much for Louisville, had good efficiency numbers, but didn't play much. And maybe he works out. There's a lot where you can look at this 9 months down the line and say, oh, okay, they did win the offseason. We just didn't know it. Like, they were playing chess, we're playing checkers. So you can totally do that. But now we're going to look at something else where the coaching staff, there were some changes that I think are good. Like I've said before, everybody, like if you're watching this and you've watched this show for longer than like a month, you know, or you probably know, I'm a big fan of Patrick Toney. I am. I love what Patrick Toney does schematically. I love what he can do as a recruiter. I know there are stories. I love what he can do as a recruiter. I love what he did schematically is just so modern. I asked for one thing. Be more aggressive. Blitz more specifically. And so you lost Patrick Toney, and I truly, genuinely believe Florida upgraded with Austin Armstrong, at least for the fit. Maybe long-term, Patrick Toney's a better coach than Austin Armstrong. That's totally fair. But I think when you take the Florida Gators roster and you have to go, okay, which DC would you rather have them with? It's Austin Armstrong, I think, because he does a lot of things very, very similar to Patrick Toney. He just blitzes more and runs more stunts. He just has a more creative pass rush plan. But on the back end, they're very, very similar, which is funny to me how many Gators fans are like, Patrick Toney's gone. Let's celebrate. And it's like, dude, like on the back end, the thing you've been complaining about for the most part, it's the same crap. Like on the back end, so many Florida Gators fans have been like, oh, too much cover three. What is this quarters crap? You're going to see the same thing from Austin Armstrong on the back end. Just letting you know that. So you're going to see that from Austin Armstrong. Personally, my main thing was I want more blitzing. We're getting more blitzing. So I'm cool with it. I think it was an upgrade for the team fit. Again, I don't necessarily have a say as to who is a better coach. I just think Austin Armstrong is a better fit for the Florida Gators in 2023 than Patrick Toney. Okay, that's where I'm at. But where I think you lost is Kerry Colbert leaving. Yes, you replaced him with Billy Gonzalez, and Billy Gonzalez is not a top five wide receiver coach in the country. I don't want to make anybody think that. I truly believe Kerry Colbert is a top five wide receiver coach in the country. He ain't one. I know he's not one. And I mean NFL and college combined. I know he's not one because guess what? Number one is Brian Hartline, and it's going to be until Brian Hartline retires. I know he's an OC now. He's still coaching receivers. So Brian Hartline is number one. But Kerry Colbert is genuinely up there. As a recruiter, he did a great job of going Andy Jean, Aiden Mizell, and Eugene Wilson III. Sure, you can say Aiden Mizell was probably a slam dunk anyway. He was leaning Gators the whole time. Everybody was expecting him to go to the Gators, but it's still a dub, okay? And then also just as a developer of talent, Kerry Colbert was only here for a year. Yeah, you're not going to see a ton of progress over that time. That's just not how it works. Like you can see people taking steps, but not leaps and bounds, okay? But I think Billy Gonzalez is a very good developer of talent. I think the biggest question mark for Austin Armstrong, for Billy Gonzalez, and for Russ Callaway, who we'll talk about in a second, is replacing what you just lost on the recruiting trail. And I know people always ask me about Austin Armstrong recruiting. I genuinely don't have an opinion of him as a recruiter. Because here's the thing. I'm of the type where I don't care what your ranking is. I don't care what your stars are. I don't care about that crap. So I don't care about who Austin Armstrong brought to Southern Miss with him or who he brought to Louisiana. And he wasn't in Bama long enough to recruit, and he was only in Georgia for a year. So who he brought in, I don't care based on their rankings. what they became after he left Louisiana. Whatever they become in Southern Miss this coming year or next year, I don't care because he's not the one that's developed them fully. So Austin Armstrong hasn't stayed anywhere long enough to see his commits come in, and then he also develops them. Austin Armstrong hasn't done that. I don't have an opinion of him as a recruiter. I'm sorry. I wish I did. I truly wish I did because people ask. But I don't have an opinion of him as a recruiter. Okay? So that's where I'm at with it. I will also say William Pegler, who left with Patrick Toney as the former tight ends coach. He is now an assistant defensive line coach with the Arizona Cardinals. He left and he was replaced by Russ Callaway, who I just mentioned. And I've said this. I think that this is a pretty balanced trade-off. Like, I think replacing Patrick Toney with Austin Armstrong, I think you win with Austin Armstrong. Replacing Kerry Colbert with Billy Gonzalez, I think you lose replacing Kerry Colbert with Billy Gonzalez. With William Pegler and Russ Callaway, I will say it's net gain, net loss, zero. Like no change, because I think you're getting a considerably better actual position coach with Russ Callaway. I get it. He's never coached tight ends before. I don't care. I think he's going to be a better position coach than William Pegler. But I think you get a considerably, not worse, but considerably bigger question mark as a recruiter because William Pegler was so good as a recruiter. So yes, I think that that's overall, you win one, you lose one, and we'll say you tie. So coaching changes. Yeah, it's zero. We'll say there's no change. You could add in losing Coach Reed, losing Benedict Hippolyte to Miami. You could add in those and you can say losses. I'm talking about on-field coaches immediately. And those were the three that Florida lost. So I think that's kind of net zero. But I think as far as replacing your players that we spoke about earlier, I think it's just too much projection for me to say, oh yeah, you did a good job of replacing them. Three coaches? Sure. In a vacuum? Sure. But when you talk about losing all of the talent that you lost this year, whether it was to the draft or the portal, and you talk about the talent that you brought in, I think it's hard to kind of project those. And I think that that's the reason that I have to say, I think Florida right now is on the losing side of the offseason. But again, in 9 months, we'll see. In 15 months, in 20 months, we'll see. Because these things are going to get like Deuce Spurlock, probably not going to play a ton this year. I get it. He's probably not going to play a ton this year. And that happened with Keonta Goodwin. Probably going to play, but he's not going to be a finished product, right? So I think that's where I land on the offseason, where I think Florida's losing it right now. You could add in talent in the transfer portal, but, you know, unless you add in a bona fide player and a proven player, I'm not going to all of a sudden go, woo, you won. No, because it's still the same thing. You're projecting guys to come over to your system and replace them. And again, you could have brought in people who are going to exceed expectations and exceed what you saw last year. Graham Mertz is never going to be as physically gifted as Anthony Richardson, but he could exceed what Anthony Richardson did last year just as a quarterback. So maybe you end up being a massive winner of the offseason. But for now, I think you're on the losing side. Thanks for making Lockdown Gators your first listen of the day. We are available daily and free right listen to the podcast. We'll be back tomorrow to talk Florida Gators football. For your second listen, check out Locked On College Basketball, hosted by Isaac Shade, Andy Patton. They're superstars, let me tell you. Like, I've been working with them a lot because I've been working with the college channel for things. They've been awesome. They're incredible. They're incredibly talented. Go check it out. Don't be a fool. And just go make yourself smarter. For Locked On Gators, I'm Brandon Olson. Don't forget to follow me on Twitter at @WNS_Brandon. Find out my writ work with Whole Nine Sports, Giants Country, and NFL 33. And I will see you all tomorrow.